This morning I want to speak on the last, really, of a three-part message that deals with relationships and even marriage. And the story I want us to turn to or to begin with this morning is a familiar story found in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. I'm not going to read the whole passage here. I'm just going to refer to it briefly because I believe you are familiar with it. It's the story of the lost son. I think most of us know the story. A son comes to his father and he basically asks for his inheritance. He says, "Dad, it's nice knowing you, but you're just taking too long. Can I have my inheritance now, please? And I want to go and do my thing. I want to be my own boss. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be free from you. I want to be my own boss. And if you would just be so kind as to give me that inheritance that will come to me eventually, just give it to me now, I'll be off on my way." And surprisingly, the father agrees and says, "There you go, son. Take it." And the son takes his inheritance and he thinks he's a millionaire and he goes off to a far off country. He doesn't go next door. He goes far off where probably so that nobody could hear about what was happening in his life and he wouldn't have to be accountable to anybody back at home. And he goes off and the scripture says that he indulged himself in reckless living. You could probably imagine some of the things that he might have gotten into, but basically he was interested in himself, interested in his pleasures. Because he had money, he had lots of friends, rounds for everybody, let's have a great time, and everything was going well, but as you know, that all came to an end when his money ran out. And pretty soon, he went from having all sorts of things to having nothing. Eventually, he gets hungry. When you can't buy food to eat, and there were no food banks, there was no welfare system. If you didn't have money to buy food, and you didn't grow your own food, which somebody who was spending his time on reckless living wouldn't have a chance to grow his own food anyway, he went hungry. It was not a good situation. And so he hired himself out to take care of pigs. But the food the pigs were eating looked pretty good to him. And he was hoping that he can, that's how hungry he was, that he could have some of their food. But that was theirs. And so he had to even suffer there. And that's the kind of life he had. And then one day he decided he had enough. And He went back to his father. He was broken. He was devastated. He was alone. He was lost. He was desperate. He was hurting. And in this particular story, the relationship that is covered is the relationship of a father and his son. And in particular, it was the son who had run off and wronged his father. We know that it's not always that way. Sometimes it's the father that might wrong a son, or it could be one sibling wronging another sibling. I'm sure we could think of many situations, many relationships, which were broken because two people parted ways. I know many mother-daughter relationships that have struggled. I know many marriages that have suffered and broken apart. I know of siblings who have drifted apart and sometimes with angry words and not had anything to do with each other for years. And I think that, you know, we can all think of relationships that are broken. We hear about them all the time. And I'd be surprised if you don't have somebody in your extended family who hasn't experienced some kind of breakdown in a very close and personal relationship, whether it's a sibling, a parent, a child, a spouse, or someone very close to them. And the common thread in all of these broken relationships is that someone you once held close, someone who you perhaps looked up to and admired and confided in and enjoyed being around, is lost. Now all there is brokenness and separation, distance. Sometimes there's silence. Sometimes there's angry words. And it's hurtful. And perhaps like the father in the story, you watch and you wait, hoping for something good to happen. And you wait. And you wait. Or maybe you find yourself in the position of the son. Maybe you want to go back if you're part of that broken relationship. You want to work things out. You want to restore your relationship with your brother or sister or mother, father, son or daughter. But you can't. Maybe you've hurt them, or maybe they've hurt you so badly and you can't imagine seeing them again. You've been hurt too deeply. The result, whether you hurt them or they hurt you, is the same: brokenness, separation, and pain. And then in the story of the prodigal son, this prodigal son, the wayward son, decides he's had enough. The scripture says in verse 17, Luke chapter 15, verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, as he's wallowing in that mud, literally, feeding the pigs, wishing he could eat as well as the pigs were, the scripture says, when he came to his senses, in other words, when he thought things through, or perhaps when he put aside his emotions and was able to see things clearly, he decided he would make an effort and return home. He took the first step in the direction that would take him home. And in the end, if you read through Luke chapter 15, you'll see that he was reunited with his father. He was forgiven. He was restored. He was celebrated. And things went well. And sometimes we think, as the prodigal son did when he was distant, that things are too far gone. The relationship can never be mended. And to be fair, oftentimes it certainly seems that way, particularly if one or both members of the relationship are actively making things worse instead of making things better. But after a while, many people simply give up. Give up. Some people bail out of a relationship. Some people stop trying to make things better. There's lots of people who put up with an unhappy relationship. There are married couples who will spend their lives living under the same roof, sharing the same bed, eating at the same table, but being completely disconnected from one another. But there will also be some who make an effort to rebuild a relationship. They will take that first step that leads towards restoration. That first step is always the hardest one to take, isn't it? But it's also the most fruitful. And really, that's what I want us to look at this morning: rebuilding relationships. And we're going to look in the book of Revelations for our answer. Rebuilding relationships in Revelations. Revelations chapter 2. Turn there with me if you have your Bible. Jesus is talking about the church in Ephesus. Remember, we did a whole series in Ephesus. In Ephesians, about Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and all the instructions he gave and so forth. The church in Ephesus had people who were hardworking. It had people, the scripture says, Jesus says, who wouldn't tolerate wickedness. There were people who persevered and endured hardships. Verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. These are people who Jesus delighted in, who were doing well. But something happened. Yet he says, I hold this against you. Verse 4, you have forsaken your first love. Over time, these people who were commended as people who were hardworking, who persevered, who endured hardship, who had given their all, Jesus says that they have forsaken their first love. In other words, they have drifted away from God. They have lost that relationship. That relationship has been severed or broken. And the closeness they had with the Lord was gone. What was once beautiful has become tarnished. And I know this scripture doesn't specifically speak about marriages, but it's interesting because the steps that Jesus offers to restoring our relationship with Him are pretty much identical to the steps that we need to follow in order to restore our human relationships as well, especially marriage, but of course any relationship. Verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Then in verse 5, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. I think if we could just commit verse 5 to memory, we would do well in our relationships. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Really, it is so simple. Putting it into practice is another story, of course. Isn't that the way it always is? It's easy to say. It's another thing to do. Remember, the first thing Jesus said is remember. Remember the height from which you have fallen. And when it comes to a relationship that has gone wayward, the first thing we need to do is remember where we came from, what it was like. Instead of focusing in on how rotten things are right now, we would do well to remember where we were at one time. For those of you who are married, think back to your wedding day. Replay it in your mind. If you are fortunate enough to have a videotape of your wedding ceremony, if your cameraman didn't forget to turn the camera on, you can watch that again. See it. Look at, watch your wedding again with your spouse. Remember what it was like. Where did you get married? Where did you meet? What were you wearing? What was it like? How did you feel when you saw your spouse inside the church, if it was in a church? How did you feel about your spouse? What was it about your spouse that grabbed your attention? What was it that grabbed your heart? There was something. What was it? Remember. Remember what it was like. Remember the heights of love from which you have fallen. Were there hopes and dreams that you shared? What were they? How did you look into his or her eyes? What happened to that? If you have trouble remembering, as I said, maybe grab your wedding album Go home. Pull out those pictures. Take a look at them. I have my wedding pictures on my phone, by the way. And take a look at them. You're madly in love. You and your spouse. That person who aggravates you now. That person who gets under your skin and grates the wrong way and maybe leaves the cereal out or some other annoyance. Was somebody that you were crazy to spend time with. Remember. I remember standing at the front of the church, the Newmarket Church of the Nazarene. We were all set up, ready. Me and the guys were at the front. I had been dating Heather Grant for several years by then, and I was anxious to marry her. And so we were looking, and there she comes, up the aisle, finally. My bride-to-be. Oh, she was stunning. She still is, by the way. I got a stunning wife. And and I just wanted to take her by the hand and say a couple of I do's and get out of there, you know? What else do we need? Let's go. Oh, no. She wouldn't have nothing to do with that. We got to do the whole ceremony, Norm. Okay. We need to remember where we were at. There's a reason why you got into the relationships that you did. Incidentally, that's what the prodigal son did too. He remembered. He remembered that back home, things were good. Back home, he had food to eat. Back home, he had true friends. Back home, he was family. He remembered. And friends, when we look at broken relationships, and they are painful, and sometimes remembering what they were could be even more painful. But that's the first step. We need to remember the height from which our relationships have fallen. Where was it at? There was something about it that drew us together. And then Jesus says, repent. Repent simply means to turn around, to make a change in direction. There has to be an actual change. If things have been going bad, in order for them to go good, there has to be a change. If you don't change your direction, you end up going the same place you're headed, only further away. And so that's what repent means. It means to turn around. Somebody needs to turn around. Somebody needs to make a change. And sometimes we think that repentance is only for the deep, dark sinner. You know, you might be thinking, well, you know, I've never committed adultery. I've never filed for divorce. I've never been unfaithful. I fulfilled my vows and, you know, I'm not at fault and my spouse has nothing to complain about. And we need to understand that faithfulness is more than the absence of an affair. Faithfulness is the presence of love, devotion, honor, respect, loyalty, and encouragement. If we are withholding those from the people with whom we are in relationship with, and this isn't just a marriage thing, it could be two friends. If we are withholding respect and love and encouragement and loyalty, we are being unfaithful to that relationship. And so to say I've been faithful because I haven't committed adultery is to miss the point. We may not commit adultery, but we can certainly withhold a lot of essentials in our relationships and thereby be unfaithful. Repent. Turn around. When you were first married, you tried very hard to please your spouse. Do you still try? when you were first hired at that job. You worked really hard to please your employer. Do you still make that effort? When you took on a roommate, you were very careful not to be presumptuous. Are you there still? When you had a child, you tried very hard to build a good relationship. Do you still make that effort? We need to repent of the attitudes and practices that led to isolation. We need to turn that around. And that's what the prodigal son did. He not only remembered the height from which he had fallen, he repented. He had been spending his time going away from the father, and he decided, enough is enough. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to make a U-turn. I'm going to take that step to go back. Repentance is essential in a relationship. Gary Thomas, who wrote the book Sacred Marriage and a few other books that we've done a series on here, he said, most people don't fall out of love, they fall out of repentance. Fact is, we're all broken human beings. We're all sinners. And you know, the cartoon clip I showed a couple of weeks ago, if you remember that, what it's like. And we need to continually repent. We need to be continually asking and offering forgiveness. And so he says, rightly, we don't fall out of love, we fall out of repentance. We stop repenting. Jesus says, remember the height from which you have fallen, repent, and then he says, return, do the things you did at first. For the prodigal son, he had to literally return to the father. Jesus says, do the things you did at first. When you began your relationship, what are some of the things that you did? You noticed the little things and you appreciated. Return to the things you did at first. Did you go for long walks? It's a good idea. Did you serve breakfast to one another? Did you call one another in the middle of the day? Did you write a little note? Gasp. Did you even send love letters? Eek. Did you try to... did you buy roses? I don't know. Like, what did you do? Do the things. You did it first. Leave a note on the pillow. I don't know what. Whatever it is. Surprise him or her with dinner. Whatever it is. Are you willing to put forth the effort to have the kind of marriage that you dreamed of? Are you willing to put forth the effort to have the kind of relationship, friendship that you dream of? If so, you can do something about it. Do the things you did at first. You can't do it all in one day, and you can't expect a relationship to be restored in one day either. A marriage that has drifted apart over years won't be healed overnight. But you can move from isolation to oneness. And in the end, great relationships don't just happen. It's not because you're lucky. It's not because you found your soulmate. They take work and lots of it. We need to regularly remember, repent, and return to the things we did at first. But as I said, this passage in Revelations isn't about marriage. It's about a relationship. It's about a love story, but a different love story. It's about the love that God has for you and I, and the relationship that God wants to have with you and I. And what the scripture is doing is it's calling the Ephesians, the people who once knew God, the people who were once who had once accepted the gospel and believed and were enthusiastic and hardworking and committed and devoted, but for whatever reason, they got sidetracked. That's what happens in relationships. They get sidetracked by the enemy. That's his job. He loves to kill and destroy. And destroying relationships is his specialty. And these people got sidetracked. And God is calling them to be restored. He's inviting them to come back. He is saying to them, as the father would have been praying for his prodigal son, come back home. You can do it. And so he tells them, Jesus tells the church at Ephesus, remember where you were. Repent, do that about face, and return to what you were doing at first. Worshipping together, fellowshipping together, working together, studying God's word together, praying together, being God's church together. Remember, repent, do that again, go back to that. It's no magic formula. It's very simple. The greatest, most important relationship we will ever have is with our Heavenly Father. Before we even look at our human relationships, we need to get that one in order. And so we should ask ourselves where that relationship is as well. Is it in order? Have we drifted away from the Father? I know we don't intentionally do that. We don't turn our back like the prodigal son did, perhaps, and abandon everything and take off. But you know as well as I do how easy it is for relationships to just get sidetracked. And if you're in that position today where your relationship with the Heavenly Father just seems out of sync, it just seems it's not where it should be. You know, you remember the days when you had sweet fellowship with the Lord, when you took the time in God's word and fellowship and prayer, and maybe it's a little harder now. I want to encourage you, as the scripture says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, remember where it was. Repent of that change. Turn around and do the things you did at first, and you will find that the relationship will be restored. And the truth is, the same principle applies to our human relationships. Whether it's a brother and sister, or siblings, parent, child, or spouses, remember the height from which we have fallen. Repent and do the things you did it first, and then we will get our reward. Friends, this morning I just want to encourage you. Maybe nothing I've said has connected with you today, and that's okay. Not everything will every week. But if there is some aspect of a relationship that it has connected with, I want to encourage you just to take that to the Lord in prayer. And then consider what steps you can take. Remember, turn around, and then return to what you need to do to try to restore the relationship. In the end, you can only do your part. The good news is, it's only your part that you are accountable for. So let's do our part well, for the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you this morning. And Lord, I fully understand that there is much brokenness in our lives, relationships that have been hurt, and maybe even our relationship with you has gone off track. Lord, if that's the case, I know that you are standing there with open arms ready to receive us. The scripture says you stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears your voice and opens the door, you would come in. And I pray, Father God, that this morning, that if there is anyone who is feeling isolated from you, or maybe just not sensing that closeness that they might have once had, I pray, Father, that you would help them to remember, to repent, and to return. Father, and for our human relationships, marriages, parents and child, siblings, I pray, Father, there too, that you'd help us, Lord, to be close to one another. And Lord, if we need to repent and turn things around, Lord, help us to have the courage to take that step. We don't know how it will be received, but Lord, help us to be faithful, to do what we can, Lord God, and to commit our relationships to you. We pray your protection upon our families, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for your holy protection upon our marriages, our relationships, Lord, that they would be honoring to you. We pray, Father God, that the enemy would not get into our homes, that he would not bring division, even within the church. We are a family here. I pray that you'd help protect and enhance the relationships we have with one another here at the church, Lord God. And Lord, we just give you praise. And Father, as we do these things, we know, Lord God, that you will be pleased and that your kingdom would be built. And so, Lord, for all this, we want to give you thanks, and we pray that your work will be done in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.